Hello, it's Ghost Stories, a podcast, back with me, Tyler. I hope you're all holding up well and doing okay in this crazy, crazy world we're living in. Regular listeners will know me and my wife are expecting our second child, and she's still a few days overdue now, so any minute, I guess, things could be kicking off. So that's part of the reason why I've been so quiet on social media, and that says something, because I'm normally pretty quiet anyways. But I've got a few plans in place to improve that, so don't worry. The other thing is, since 2 weeks ago when I put out the update talking about when season 7's coming and asking for stories, I kind of call to action. I've noticed a big uptick in people sending their stories in, which is fantastic. I love to hear it. So if you have something, jump onto Facebook, shoot us a message there. Go to our website as well, ghost-stories.co.uk. Whilst I don't update very often, I do monitor it and receive any emails you send me through it. So feel free to keep sending stories through. I won't go through as big and in-depth an update as last week, because, you know, you could just click the episode before if you want to hear what's coming up. But just a reminder, we are coming back with season 7 in full on the 9th of July, and it's we're hoping to do 22 episodes this time, so our most ambitious season ever. Season 6 been our biggest to date so far, so I'm pretty proud of that, but this next one's going to be huge, and we've already filled up half the spots for stories, so I've got 11 more spaces. Some of them might have gone already, but keep sending those stories in. If I could film up beforehand, amazing. If I get more stories than episodes planned, then I might even look at expanding it, who knows. But keep them coming in. I love hearing you guys' tales, even if I don't end up using them. But yeah, let's get down to business. This week we are revisiting one of the most popular stories of the past 12 months. So this one is actually from season 5 of the podcast. You may recognize it if you've heard it before. If not, hopefully this is a nice little treat for you. It's called A Crying Boy. In 1997, after saving for some time, I moved my wife and my two daughters into the suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland. The house in particular was a large duplex with friendly, inviting neighbors and a generally warm atmosphere. The history of the house, though, was never explained to me thoroughly by the manager, but didn't bug me in the slightest. The first several weeks passed by, and really with no dilemmas at all, as we managed to unpack and set up our belongings rather quickly, and my wife would call me at work just to tell me how great the new home was, and boasting about the easy living, which included enough rooms for us all, and of course a pool out back, and I would just smile and think how great it was and agree. Now my daughters, they also loved the house and found plenty of games to play around in the large space available. The two slept in the same room together near ours, so they could easily access us in case of an emergency. By the fifth or maybe the sixth week living there, the two came storming into our bedroom late one night, both claiming to hear a little boy crying in the next bedroom window. My wife and I both exchanged confused and frightened looks, but proceeded to examine their room. It was relatively empty, save for a few toys lying around. We heard it, Daddy, they both exclaimed. Heard what? I asked, puzzled. They both began to describe the boy, taking it in turns to describe how he sounded afraid, the way he was just crying through the night, even singing to himself quietly at one point. I peered out the window and turned my gaze downwards. Nothing. I exchanged them both confused looks and decided it was best for them to sleep between my wife and I in our bedroom. They nodded in agreement as we tucked them in. Granted, I was unable to fall asleep for a while, but eventually I drifted off an hour or so after, throughout which I did not hear any of the mysterious crying. After drifting off, a dream began. However, I found myself in this open field. It was bound and plentiful with wheat. I shoved through the tall grass and our new house eventually came into view, but the houses that would normally be around it were not visible. I entered the threshold and saw that the house was empty and that pieces of furniture had been randomly stacked on top of each other. Odd, I thought. I made my way out and turned my attention to the bottom of the swimming pool, which a young boy lay in the fetal position. The boy promptly disappeared and reappeared before me on dry land. The boy, who was around 6 or 7 years of age and dressed in rusty overalls and a striped tee, slowly looked up at me, his misty eyes staring right up into mine. Despite this outward appearance, he seemed friendly, and I perished any thought that he might be frightening at all. "Who are you?" I nervously asked, clenching my hands in disbelief. "I'm sorry," the boy responded. "It's okay," I replied back, patting him on the shoulder. We talked for a while, and he seemed content during the conversation, almost pleased I was with him. At this point, he grabbed my hand and began to mutter just gibberish under his breath. I stood motionless and urged him to quit, but he seemed to have entered somewhat possessed state, and strange words became louder, almost as if he was talking in tongues. "Where is she?" he suddenly asked, his face now wrinkled up in anger. He repeated this several times. "Where is she? Where is she? Where is she?" Each time, his grip became stronger around my hand. I don't know," I snapped back, attempting to break free of his iron grip to no avail. He remained silent at this point and continued to strengthen his grip, becoming more and more persistent by the expression on his face. After an intense struggle, I pulled my arm free and pushed him away, making a beeline for the front door and making no stops to look behind. I finally exited the door and ran out the fields. The house was now lit aflame and I could see the boy screaming in agony from one of the windows upstairs. I felt guilty and ashamed, but I could not do anything to help the boy. I woke with a jolt into the dark of the night, breathing heavily and sweating intensely. It also woke my wife, and she did her best to calm me down. "What happened? Did you have a nightmare?" she inquired. "Yeah, I think so," I replied. "Just go back to sleep," she said. "We'll talk about it in the morning." We managed to fall back asleep shortly afterwards, and I could not recall any more dreams that night. The next morning, something in me knew I had to go speak to the manager about the history of this building. So I went and saw him and asked him the question. He went white with a look of despair in his face, and he finally decided to reveal all. He told me that the building once burst into flames some 20-something years prior due to an accident of unknown cause. Possibly arson, possibly an electrical fault, but they're to this day not sure why. "But why do you want to know? Did you read something in an old newspaper, or was it speaking to a neighbor?" he inquired. So I decided to tell him about my dream, about the boy and the house went down in flames. Obviously quite spooked myself that we were living in a house that had previously been the victim of such a tragic event. And afterwards, he just stared at me. He said, "Well, I've not told you the whole story." The house being burnt down was in the worst part of this tragic event. One of the past owner's son, they actually died, trapped in an upstairs bedroom, and firefighters could do nothing about it. As he stared blankly at me, he said the house was rebuilt, but some say it's remained exactly the same. So of course that was A Crying Boy, one of our most popular episodes of the last year, and one that I really enjoyed creating as well as reading when I first found it. So I guess I'm going to open with the reveal of if it's based in fact or a pure work of fiction. Maybe shut your answers now. Come on, let us know. Obviously, I can't hear you, but yeah, this is a story that's a pure work of fiction. I got it from a writer on the Creepypasta fandom website called Curly Brace. So sometimes I go to that website and put out a kind of call to arms asking for spooky stories that people want to have dramatized and appear on the podcast. And we get no end of great submissions when I do that. So we've had a few previous stories come from that. And do you know what, in all fairness, I always credit the authors. So if you look in the story descriptions, you'll know which ones come from those websites or not. For me, though, it's the big thing for me is I really like in spooky stories that kind of to have a big reveal at the end to end on that. So throughout this this tale, obviously the man, he's having the bad dreams about the boy, and it's really kind of spooked him. And this build up to going and speaking to the manager, it's almost like he's gone there. He doesn't, you can tell he doesn't quite believe it, but he wants that reassurance. He's gone to almost have the manager kind of shrug him off and go, oh mate, it's just a dream, you know, go away. But to have it switched on him and have this reveal where actually, oh wow, that's a boy died in a fire in that house before it was rebuilt. That for me kind of creates a moment of tension and it makes it quite spooky actually. Because I think when people have these scary experiences, they do go look to kind of validate what they felt, to either make it true, or they'll tell someone a story to kind of get the complete opposite reaction, maybe to give them some relief themselves. Because if someone's telling them, oh, it's never, you know, that didn't happen, and give them a rational explanation, then it almost can make them feel better and less scared. And I think in this instance, it wasn't validation he was after in any way, yet he got it. And for me, I think that's what really makes this kind of a terrifying story towards the end. I also, you know, from a technical aspect, really wanted to ramp it up to the reveal, and the music, which is playing now as I speak, is the bed. You know, we have the drum kind of tapping in the build up to the landlord speaking, and you can hear the music change and really kick in once he reveals what happened to the boy. And I think that's quite important to kind of create that emotional. It's quite important to kind of create that shock, that moment of shock for the listeners. But yeah, I think that's all I'm going to say on that. I guess final bits of admin, obviously patrons coming back next month in advance of the podcast coming. So if you do want to support us, obviously you being a listener and just sharing and subscribing, leaving reviews, all that stuff is more than enough. But if you want to go the extra mile, and drop us, as little as a buck, a dollar for all our non, and North American listeners, if you drop us as little as that much, we can you'll be receiving episodes early, and we're also looking into additional benefits. I'm kind of planning at the moment as well, be it content that you'll only be able to listen to on Patreon and stuff like that. So yeah, don't forget, put it in your diaries. We're coming back to all platforms on the 9th of July. I believe, if I've got my numbers right, that'd be the 5th of July for Patreon listeners, so a bit early. I only remember that because it's my wife's birthday. So she was very excited when she found out that was the date that stuff is coming back. And, yeah, for obvious reasons. And yeah, I think that's all for this week. I'm going to do my best to kind of pre-record the next two episodes. I'm going to technically be on parental leave, helping shape the future by raising another child. Wish me luck. But otherwise, you will be hearing from us. I'm going to try and put some more content on Facebook as well. Who knows if I'll stick to that. So yeah, that's all for me. Stay spooky and don't stop asking.
Do you believe in ghosts?